Welcome back to the Two Guys Named Chris Show. It's always exciting to have Lisa Lanier in the studio. It's good to see you.
I love being here.
This is such a treat because you're such an awesome guest.
Of course. Aww. I just offered her an Oreo muffin, and she said, are you trying to kill me?
You want to kill me, or you just want to see me vomit.
Right, she's the gluten intolerant.
She's gluten intolerant. First thing I said was, have a muffin.
Those are full of gluten.
I didn't know there was any such thing.
I know.
Nor did we.
Yeah. We have a P1 listener called the Oreo Hunter, because Biggie called Oreos Oreos because they have so many different flavors. They poured out to everything.
Oh, yeah.
And she got us muffins this
time. Her mission, the Oreo Hunter, is to find every new product they have.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
And send it to us so we can test it.
Well, you know, they have gluten-free Oreo cookies. Well, and they're pretty good.
She said. Yeah. She showed us that the first time around. Are you ready to take calls?
I am ready.
This is what we do here. She does free legal advice for you for the next few minutes. And Pat is on the line first to ask a question of Lisa Lanier. Ask a lawyer. Pat, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, everyone.
Sure.
So just to get kind of right into it, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, I had a contract with a company called Flowers Flooring here in North Carolina to get some carpet replaced with LVP, pay the deposit for the flooring. The owner ended up closing the business before they ever started the work, never got the money back. Myself and I know several others had this issue. The guy essentially got away with multiple thousands of dollars from the group of us. I did try and go after the owner through small claims. I kind of wanted to pursue criminal charges because, I mean, this was a guy that, just essentially stole money from us.
Yeah.
But every time, when I talk with law enforcement, I was told that this is a civil case, not a criminal case. But my question to Lisa is, why is it not a criminal case if this is what this guy did?
Yeah, and what can he do? That's rough.
I'm not a legal mind, but this stinks.
Yeah, it does.
100%,
yeah.
Right, yeah.
Well, Pat, thanks for calling, first of all. And so, your contract with him is, it's unfortunate that he closed down the business. I wonder if he did that because he was in financial duress or because he was just a fraudster.
Yeah.
Because I think what you're getting at is it felt like he was a fraudster.
Yeah.
In which case, it does rise to criminal. If somebody's perpetuating a fraud as a way to, like, he never had the wherewithal or the intention to do flooring.
Right.
But if he was just a flooring guy that was a bad businessman and he collected some money, but then he, made bad business decisions and went under, that's different and that's not criminal. But what I would do, local law enforcement is not going to be interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
But contact the North Carolina Attorney General's office. They have a consumer protection division.
Mm.
And they're actually, I've had some clients that went to them and found them to be pretty responsive.
Mm-hmm.
And I would give that a try and they can look at it and see if there's anything that can be done.
Yeah. Well, you've said that before.
They're really good.
And they actually do care about
you. Yeah. And it's across multiple administrations, different attorney generals.
Yeah.
And, I mean, not a political body whatsoever. Just a good program that North Carolina has had for a long, long time.
Well, that's good. Huh. Do most states have something like that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's, your tax dollars help you out a little bit.
Thank you, Pat. And good luck to you.
Yeah.
Really. That is a terrible. Listen, as a man who's been scammed,
yes,
I know it.
Yes,
let's not talk about it, Lisa.
I like the use of the word fraudster.
Fraudsters knocked right on my door. They were right on my doorstep.
That's a legal
fraudster's
term of art.
Welcome.
Fraudster. You know that. Yeah. You know what happened there. That
you said, "Come on in."
I said,
"Come on
that.
In."
We've beefed up security.
John Quavius is here.
John Quantavius.
John.
It's been 3 years. Three years since that date. Rain, you're talking about. You're asking Lisa a question as well. Ask a lawyer. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call here,
sure.
Lisa.
Yeah.
I have a question. 2 years ago, something like that, I was convicted of a fray. And the reason I know it was a conviction of a fray is I had never heard of a fray. I went home, looked it up in the dictionary, And so anyway, that's not what the charge was, but that's what the conviction was. And about 3 or 4 years ago, I went to file for a gun permit. And it turns out that is not what is on my record.
Ah.
Something else is on my record.
Huh.
Something else. What's
about,
the, what well, is the something else?
Yeah, what was on your record?
Yeah. Okay, so let's not, I don't want to get into too
much. Okay, right. Sorry. Too many questions.
An ex-girlfriend came and broke into my house.
Okay.
And I called the law. They came out. They charged her with 5 charges.
Mm-hmm.
When she reported to the sheriff's department, she said I assaulted her. So they charged me with assault on a female.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
When we went to court, we both were convicted of a fray.
Okay. So, but assault
now,
is on your record.
Today, but assault on a female is on my record.
Oh, that's it. What is a fray, Lisa?
It's essentially one of these generic terms that has that you did some kind of sort of semi-violent mayhem kind of thing.
Okay,
you got into an altercation.
Okay, right.
And a lot of times it's something like I think the caller, like Grain, is getting at. It's less serious than assault on a female. And so it's more of like you got into a scrap.
So how can he change assault on a female back to a fray?
Wow. I mean, if they so I wonder if the charge of assault on a female is what's showing up rather than the conviction. Because sometimes people will pull a criminal record and they'll see, but they won't know how to read it.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll see, because it'll show what the charge was and then it'll show what the conviction was. And so it just could be that someone was reading the charge, not the conviction. But if it truly has it completely wrong, it's the one thing, it's going to be kind of hard to prove what 20 years ago, you know, that you weren't convicted of assault on a female. Because if you go to the court and say, y'all got this wrong, they're going to say, well, show us, show us something, you know.
Jeez.
I mean, so that's going to be tough. But if but maybe double check the record and see if it was really just showing the charge, not the conviction.
Right. Just maybe it's a clerical type thing.
Yeah, maybe so.
Guy's trying to buy a gun.
Yeah.
You know, come on.
Yeah, oh, man.
Sorry, Rain. Man. Okay, thank you. I hope. Do you go to the courthouse for something like that?
I mean, really, most people are going to end up having to hire. It's a sort of a subset of criminal practice, of criminal law that you can try to get it expunged.
Yeah.
That would be what I would try to do. I think I would just. But you really can't do that on your own. It's really too.
It's not for the citizen.
It's better to just hire a criminal attorney.
Hire a criminal attorney. Arthur, you have a question for Lisa Lanier. Ask the lawyer, Arthur.
Hey, Lisa. First off, thanks for taking my call. Love the show. Love you, Lisa.
Thank you.
So try to be brief. So back in the beginning of July, we had a leak in our apartment that caused a bunch of mold to come through the drywall. We rent. Our landlord came and cut it out without testing it, which we were a little concerned because my wife is newly pregnant and also high risk. Less than a month later, we have another leak in a different part of the apartment, which after investigation was due to an improperly installed AC unit and drip pan, which also created a bunch of mold. They initially refused to give us any temporary housing, saying they would only reimburse us $56 a day for a hotel, which, as you know, won't get you anything.
Right.
This time we threatened legal action and they rushed to put us in one of their other Airbnb units. We've been here for 5 days and they emailed me last night at 10 o'clock saying that we need to move out today to another unit because someone's rented this for the weekend.
This
unit has a leak as well.
Oh my God.
What can he do? Oh, Arthur, thanks for calling, first of all. And I love you, too. Chris Kelly's a little hurt that you don't love him. I saw him wince when you professed your love for me. He's hurt over there.
I'm right here.
You're talking about this.
Nobody said a word. Sorry, I was clutching.
I'm getting a lot of calls and feedback from people with similar stories right now because of all this crazy weather we've had and the rain. Leaks are happening all over the place. You know, it sounds like the landlord is accommodating, you know, not at first, not doing a great job at first, but then, you know, when you threaten some legal action, got you in a better place. But there's no specific law that says that, you know, they have to keep you in one unit while the repairs are being done. So unfortunately, they can't ask you to move from place to place.
Oh, that stinks.
I know, it's lousy. I mean, I would say if it keeps happening and you have to move every few days, that would cross a line, you know, that they're not really accommodating you with another abode.
Right.
But I think, you know, in this situation, there's a lot of landlords that are dealing with this.
Yeah.
And yours actually, believe it or not, and I'm not saying they're doing a great job, they're doing a better job than a lot of them that are just sticking their head in the sand and telling people, oh, yeah. I mean,
With mold?
Even with mold. I mean,
they
do not respond well to mold. I mean, it's bad.
And it's a serious situation.
It's serious. Yeah, it can make you very sick. And congratulations, Arthur, on the pregnancy.
Yeah,
oh, my gosh. And good job taking care of, you know, getting your wife out of there.
But it sounds like there's not much he can do then.
No, I mean, it sounds like they're remediating the mold. They're putting you in another place.
Yeah.
And as long as they don't move you every few days, I think that you're probably not going to be able to do much about that.
Lisa used the word abode.
Abode. Yeah,
do you like that?
I love that stuff.
Pretty good. That's lawyer, baby.
Yeah, you know, the vocabulary.
Andy, I know, something flies over my head. I don't know. You know. I considered the law, but not for very long. Andy,
very short time.
You have a question for Lisa Lanier as well. Ask the lawyer, Andy.
Hi, P1. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
So I'll try to explain this background real quick. I was employed for 15 years, and I basically was brought up on these weird charges. They recommended termination, so I was allowed to resign. I had about close to $10,000 of vacation that was accrued, and in their personnel policy, it said that if you don't give 2 weeks notice, then they don't have to pay you, but you can ask the department head, you know, for that payment or whatever. And anyway, I did that. They refused to pay it. Well, cut to a few years later, I resigned and left. A few years later, I found out that other people that actually got fired for DUIs and things like that, they actually got paid their vacation before they left. So I was wondering if there's any recourse that I had.
Can you go back and get paid for vacation days since other people did as well? Lisa?
Yeah, so typically it's controlled by the personnel manual, or, you know, the employee manual, which it sounds like here you kind of fell into a bad area where you really couldn't give the 2 weeks notice because they were putting you in this little box. It sounds like this happened a long time ago. So that may be an issue if it's outside of any statute of limitations.
Yeah.
But what I always recommend people do if they have a question about wages or vacation, being paid for vacation, is to contact the Department of Labor, because they actually, much like our Attorney General's office, the Department of Labor has both a state and federal number that you can call, and they will look into things. And man, they take it seriously. Like,
really?
They take it seriously. Yeah, it's a really, but I think here it's been so long. You know, I mean, it sounds like, I'm not sure how long it's been,
it'll be
Andy,
tough,
but it sounds like it might be a while.
How long has it been, Andy?
2020.
Okay, so 5 years.
Yeah, so not that bad. Yeah, maybe give them a call and see what they have to say about it. I mean, they're probably going to say that, you know, that they followed by the letter of their employee handbook.
Yeah.
But it's worth it, no harm, right?
Yeah.
And just giving them a call and
so
seeing what they'll do.
Literally call the Department of Labor.
Yeah, yeah.
Explain what happened, have your paperwork, and then see what happens. Andy, good luck to you.
Yeah. Always tricky, that resign or fired thing.
Oh, man,
Depending, you know, what you get, what you don't get when you choose one option or the other.
Yeah.
That's right. That's true. Let's go to Bob, who has a question as well about felony charges being removed from a record. Bob, go ahead. Ask the lawyer.
Yeah, good morning. Love your show.
Thanks.
I have a felony dating back to 1980. I'm 65 now. I paid a lawyer $1,600. June was 3 years ago, and I've randomly been in contact with him. He doesn't usually contact me, but now I call his office and the number is disconnected. Oh. I found out through the clerk's office in the county where I live that he's now working for another county. He works in the public defender's office. I've talked to him one time, and he said he would get back with me. He was busy when I called him. I haven't heard from him, and I cannot get up with him. He's not even taking my calls. What can I do? Because I paid him $1,600. I have the canceled check from 3 years ago where I paid him in full.
Wow.
And I just don't know what to do.
Bad lawyer.
Yeah, give us a bad name, man.
That's right.
Terrible.
I know, yeah.
So, you know, I feel like I am the spokesperson for state government today. But here again, we have the North Carolina State Bar is a fantastic resource. They have a client assistance hotline kind of thing. And if you call them, they will reach out to him. Potentially even, I mean, they may even, you know, I hate to see it go to the level of a grievance because that's super serious. And but sometimes they'll call and say, hey, look, you know, and when the state bar calls a lawyer, we go, oh, you know,
makes
your sphincter tighten.
Right. Yeah.
So I think, you know, I would do that.
Okay. So the state bar.
North Carolina State Bar.
North Carolina
and
state
don't confuse it with the Bar Association.
Okay.
It's a government site. State bar, like ncbar.gov, not the North Carolina Bar Association, which is a club.
Okay. There you have it.
She's in both.
Right.
Lisa is in both.
Right.
Chris, you have a question about a lawsuit against a drug company. Chris, ask the lawyer.
Hey, guys. P1. Love the show. Love you, Kelly.
Thank you so much.
Gross.
Biggie's doing, Lisa, Biggie's doing the jerky motion. I want to object. Can we object, please? Okay, Chris, what do you say for Lisa Lanier?
So I'm diabetic, and about 6 or 7 years ago, I started taking a new insulin that I just had a really bad reaction to. Got sick for about a week or two straight. My doctor took me off of it, but ever since then, I'll get sick in the morning all the time. I don't get sick with food. It's just stomach bile, but it's constant. There's times when I'm down for the day. I'll get sick 15, 20 times in a day. I've lost a job because of it. I'm in trouble with my current job a little bit because of it. And I tried to join a class action suit, but they told me because I've never been in the hospital, I couldn't join. And I have with my doctor and my GI specialist, I have records of all these different nausea and different medicines I've tried since then. So there's a record of all these different things. I've tried probably 15 or 20 different medications that just don't really do anything. And they can't really explain exactly what's going on. So I'm wondering if I have any chance on my own to maybe...
That's a lawsuit.
Yeah, you know, so this falls under the area of products liability. And one of the things that the firm that told you, you know, they didn't want to add you to their class action because you hadn't been in the hospital, what they're really kind of getting at is that products liability actions are expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And you like the expert witness costs and things are just, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. It takes a lot of money to take one of those all the way. Now, class action spreads that out over more people. But they're still looking for big damages to make it worth your while and theirs. But if you have good documentation from your doctor that this sickness is going on for this long and that it's caused by the drug, I would maybe give it another shot. If you Google the drug and class action,
mm-hmm.
and there's actually a website that does like class action lawsuit finder kind
mm-hmm.
of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could Google that and you would find that website. You can find other firms that are participating mm-hmm. in class actions against that drug manufacturer. And you may get another, especially if you tell them you have good documentation. They're just looking at you saying your damages just aren't quite enough. I think what they're saying.
They don't want him as part of it.
Well, they're just thinking that he's going to have limited dollar damages because of not having that kind of major medical consequence of having to be hospitalized.
It wasn't bad enough, but it's lost a job over it.
Yeah, it sounds bad. So I think maybe, you know, just really have your documentation together and give it another shot.
Man, that's terrible. Man. Good luck to you, Chris. That
sounds
really
miserable.
It does. Okay, Austin is next. He's got a question for Lisa Lanier. Ask the lawyer. Austin, go ahead.
Good morning, Lisa. So my question is, my oldest daughter got killed in 2018. After she passed away, I ended up paying child support for 2 years while she was dead. It took me hiring a lawyer and going to court to get the child support to stop. I just want to see, is there any recourse I can take to try to get that money back?
Oh, so tragic.
Oh, man, my
that's
gosh.
Really terrible. Yeah.
Wow, Austin, first time. That just that got me right in the feels. That's terrible. Oh.
Yeah.
And, I mean, why in the world were you still paying? It was just a clerical error?
So I got told by the child support office that the death certificate could be submitted or that the mother could call.
Mm-hmm.
The death certificate was submitted, but they never did stop it until I hired a lawyer and actually went in front of a judge.
Golly, I feel like he should get that back.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there should be a cause of action. Again, I mean, it's probably would fall under like the small claims kind of, but she wasn't entitled to that after the child died.
Yeah,
I mean, I would, you know, maybe try to get that back.
Get a lawyer to do that?
Yeah,
just try.
Did your lawyer at the time who finally got it stopped try to get any kind of reimbursement for it or anything?
No.
Oh, man,
that's terrible.
Does this fall under what you would call family law, Lisa, you think, or something else?
Yeah, no, it's definitely family law. Okay. And yeah, but, you know, it's again, it's that thing of does the dollar amount make it worth hiring a lawyer? Because the largest, you know, lawyer's going to charge you $300-$400 an hour.
Right.
And then, you know, what's it at the end of the day?
What
are you going to get?
Right.
Yeah, what's
just
2 years worth? Yeah.
Dang, that's terrible.
But man, that just
heartbreak.
Oh, it's tragic.
So the answer is get a lawyer if you think it's worth it.
If you think it's worth it.
To pay the lawyer's bill. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Sorry, Austin. Thank you so much for the call. I hate to end with that, but I believe that's all the time we have, Lisa. I'm so sorry. Look at that. It goes
fantastic
so fast.
Fantastic work,
it
Lisa.
It goes too fast.
You take every single, every question, you just nail it immediately. And to me, it was good that there is help, especially from state government.
Today, I was just like the spokeswoman for
you
state government.
You did very well. Awesome. You did very, very well. That's big government again. There it goes. Lisa Lanier, our official attorney.
We don't play everybody out with Billy Joel, by the way, Lisa.
Sorry, Lisa. That's my theme song for Put Up or Shut Up, Robert.
I
know, I do too. Watch that documentary. It's very good.
Billy Joel.
Thank you, Lisa. Wonderful. HireAHeavyweight.com or LadierLawGroup.com. She's president there. Put up her shut-up time here on Rock 92. You call us, 800-ROCK-923 or 866-470-2GNC. This is my theme song. You'll play me, Chris Kelly, today, not Chris Demme. Caller number 14 plays. I got $40 in my pocket. It doubles to 80 on Fridays. Thanks, Elise Lillard.
What? New York City.
That's New York money, baby. That's New York money I'm trying to save here. 866-470-2GNC if you want to play. Well, I better get that out of my pocket or somebody will lift it right out of
it. Right out.
Oh, they're already seeing you coming.
Rube. Right. They know. Good Lord, it's Rube in the City time. We play next here.